Hey, this is Brendan, and you're listening to Community Chat. Community Chat is brought to you by Baker's Furniture. So if you're looking for a comfy couch or the perfect chair or to upgrade your bed, remember your friends at Baker's Furniture, where you buy for less. Baker's Furniture, 3231 Muskogee Avenue, right here in Tahlequah. And don't forget, free delivery within the city limits of Tahlequah. Today, we're here with my friend Cole Panel. How's it going, Cole?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I think it's a good day to be with you. You're on a run of luck right now.
Yeah, seems like it. I have a gig coming up at Squeeze In for Full Blood Productions. We are promoting the opening of Tahlequah Aerial Studio. And yeah, I had a good show in Muskogee like 2 days ago at Max's Garage. And I'm just trying to get some gigs lined out this summer.
Absolutely. Well, right now, we're in the future. So this is airing on Sunday. So hopefully the gig went awesome.
Oh, the world's already ended.
The world's already yeah. over. So there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
We're all fine.
Yeah. So, if you're listening to this in the rubble, just know.
Dude, we are a prayer. Somebody heard the rumble of this radio signal in the rubble, mm-hmm. and now they found a radio.
That's how the first responders got to him, was yeah. our voices.
They found us right there. See, that's the imagination it takes. And the reason I have you on today is not only are you a community member of Tahlequah, somebody that I love bumping into in the various holes in the wall and watering holes that we have here, but you're a comedian. You're trying right. your hand, and my dad, of all people, is one of the most excited people to tell me about what happened at the Tahlequah Creates with you guys.
Oh, was he at our first one, like the one at the art gallery?
I don't even know if he made it. I think he might have just read the write-up and got really excited about it.
That's good. We were used to doing them in bars for so long, and that was the first time we could have one that was in like a non-alcohol-based venue, and I think that brought in a different crowd. And what I liked about Tahlequah Creates gallery show was that admittedly, we didn't plan it the best. We didn't have like a microphone. That was kind of unusual. But the room was so small and intimate. It wasn't like a bar where you're having to like talk over someone mm-hmm. that's there for other reasons and being drunk and loud and all that.
Sure.
Yeah. And you're not competing with a bunch of musicians either for the attention of like the people that came there were there to see us. So
right.
I liked that. I wish we could do that again. If you guys hear this, we should book one of those again. That was cool.
Yeah, no, I think I missed out on that. I would have loved to have made it. I think you're bringing up good points and points that make sense to those that play music, too.
Mm.
It's hard to play the coffee shop scene. It's hard to play the open mic scene. It's hard to play for the back of a head. It's much easier when you have eyeballs on you
mm-hmm.
to feel like you're communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sure you're not over-repeating yourself and trying to hammer the point home.
Yes.
Because you can see the idea register.
Doing it without a microphone, too, was different because like one of the guys we had was like, really just hooked on the physical idea of holding something, and it threw him off. But then with me, it was like I could use both my hands to gesture for once. And sometimes I have like my notes in one hand and the mic in the other. And this one, like, no, I can move it around still and like do things with my hand. I don't know. It was cool.
Maybe in another life, you're the Sham Wow guy with like the Britney
yeah.
Spears mic and
yeah.
just run around telling people about how good this towel is.
Oh, that guy's all right.
I think that, I do too. I do yeah. too. It looks like a rough job.
Do you think that like he ever is like recognized? Like he's in like a bar. Oh, you're Vince from Sham. His name's Vince. I remember that. It's Vince.
Well, look at that.
I think he was on Tosh.0 or something.
Really? Yeah. No, it's a. I think definitely he is recognized on occasion by some people. It's wild how locked in some people are.
Ever since Billy Mays, someone had to fill in America's Heart for late night infomercial people.
Where are the infomercials? Are they still on?
I think they do scams on YouTube ads now, right? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Or probably.
No, podcasts? They do podcasts? Is that what they, where are they?
Well, speaking of, we made it over to YouTube. You've been venturing into YouTube with
yeah.
some skits and stuff. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, it was last year. Me and my friend, who did like most of the editing on it, directed a pilot for... It was an idea for a bigger sketch show. The pilot of it is called Pontiac Grand Prix Review, or 2007 Pontiac Grand Prix Review. And basically, it's supposed to be a parody of like those like really cheap car reviews and stuff from like late 2000s YouTube, but instead I increasingly make it into a monologue about child custody hearings and my alcoholism and money that I owe until it eventually becomes unhinged and you don't like it's lost its point. And
so it just devolves into
yeah
something.
kind of like I showed it to someone once and they were dying laughing at the end. They're like, what is this supposed to be? And I'm like, a car review. And it's like yeah but the idea for the channel was I was gonna continue and do more parodies of other like clickbait things you see on your YouTube page. Like the next one was going to be like a parody of like those police confessional or mm-hmm. interrogation videos. And I wanted to do one that was like the Vice documentaries about drug dealers. But instead, it's just me in my kitchen and I'm saying this is the new drug, but I'm just mixing up a bunch of RAM stuff and making a mess. And like, just like, yeah,
that.
Yeah. Just making a gross mess everywhere and just saying it's drugs. I think that'd be cool. But yeah, I don't have a name for it yet either. And the guy that's helping me write it has a daughter on the way. And so we're taking a little break. And I was hoping to get some more stand-up done this year or this summer while we're doing that. And it's going okay. Yeah.
That's cool. Do you have like some heroes of comedy you like to to compare yourself against or avoid their moves? Or
I take a lot of inspiration from a guy named Sam Hyde.
Okay.
And he's not even traditionally a stand-up, but he truly just does, like, the... Sam Hyde, I grew up really big into Eric Andre Show when that was on Adult Swim. I have, like, a... My favorite sense of humor is, like, the surreal, shocking, crazy stuff. I'm not, like, a dry comedian. Like, I keep energy. You've seen me before. Like, I keep energy. I don't let there be pauses. I'm always leaving you, like, wondering what the next thing is and wondering if I'm even allowed to be doing this.
Sure.
And I think that that's... To me, that's my favorite form of comedy. Yeah. Well... I like Mark Norman, too. I like Mark Norman's writing. I really like the old school, like, one-liner, like, really smart ones. But that's just not how I write.
Did you ever like Mitch Hedberg?
I love Mitch Hedberg, yeah.
He's the one-liner guy for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Mitch Hedberg. I'm not as smart as him.
Yeah, but he's got some simple ones that are so perfect.
I like Norm Macdonald. Everybody has to love Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
See, we're talking about old ones. I've been getting into Woody Allen lately because... I've just seen a lot of his vinyls. I think he has really smart writing, and I like his movie writing. Honestly, I don't even ask, but like, my brain wants to lean more towards the writing style of comedy and sketches and stuff. Like, I grew up watching a lot of Saturday Night Live and White Kids, you know, and stuff, and I think that I'd be better at that. It's just that you can't start off from ground zero, from like grass, just write, oh, hey, here's a script I wrote, you know? Like, mm-hmm. No one's gonna read it, okay? If they don't know who you are. If you do stand up, you get out there, you actually like get exposure, and it's easier to start it. And no one's telling me to stop yet.
Right.
Or if they are, I'm not listening, so I'm going to keep going. Yeah.
We're going to take a tiny break to say we are doing community chat. This is a Cole panel talking with Brendan Barlow, and we're talking about comedy and Tahlequah and all those good things. We are brought to you by Baker's Furniture. They've been in Tahlequah business for 53 years, so don't forget you get free delivery with that next new couch, chair, or bed. All right, Cole, so we're talking about heroes. We're talking about YouTube a little bit. Are there any skit heroes you like to follow?
Like I said, Sam Hyde, Million Dollar Extreme, Wise Kids, you know. I really like Connor O'Malley. He has a funny channel. I like him. Shane Gillis, Gillian Keeves, they write great sketches. Those are really good. I grew up on, like, 2000s era, like, Andy Samberg era SNL, kind of.
Sure.
Like, the Lonely Island, I think that's what they're called. I still go back and watch a lot of those.
When I moved here, I felt so robbed. I was moving from the suburbs of Kansas City to Tahlequah, and among many adjustments that you would assume... One was that I lost Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And I had 7th and 8th grade. I lived on late night stand-up comedy. Basically, I would watch that, and my buddy would play Wolfenstein 3D, and then we'd switch seats. And that's what we did. We played online. We tried to storm the castle, or we were watching stand-up comedy. And then I moved to Tahlequah, and my siblings got two new channels of Disney, and I lost.
Comedy Central?
Oh, I was so mad.
You stopped being funny that day, huh?
I was incensed as a teenager, man. I was so mad.
It's weird to think that previously the pinnacle of what you want as a comedian was a Comedy Central special. And those were an hour, but they cut out for time. So if you go back and watch those, they're like 45 minutes. And then you had to censor yourself a little more. And then now the pinnacle is the Netflix special, which isn't supposed to have ads, but it does if you don't pay the however that works now. And those seem like they can go on forever. And some of the long ones, like... I don't know. To me, it's impressive to be able to go on that long, but I like to keep myself somewhat concise.
Sure.
If I ever taped a special, I would want to tape it at Kane's Ballroom because I think that it's really unusual. The comedians go to Kane's Ballroom, but there's never been a taped stand-up special there.
Really?
Like, yeah, isn't that weird? But I don't know who in the inner circle of Tulsa, like what dark room I have to get into to get booked for that. But like someday, if I could tape my special, my first one, I would want to do it at Kane's. Yeah, anywhere, just because like of the history it has to me in the area.
Yeah, it's an amazing venue. It's been there so long. It's seen so many. I mean, the posters that adorn the walls today tell the story of everybody that's been there. And you can go and point at and be like, hey, I was at that show in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy thing to do, let alone that they've got Turnpike and all those boys on the wall outside.
Yeah, and then you got that bridge that always cars about to run over and kill everyone in the smoking area on accident. And
yeah, it's dangerous right there. Dangerous right there. So if you were going to, you mentioned the Kane's Ballroom. Are you aware of any other parts of the comedy scene in Tulsa that you're
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of it. In fact, from what I can gather, it's a little oversaturated, actually. They actually have like an open mic you can attend almost every night of the week there, and to the point where some of them are like dead and competing with the other. Like, and I don't know. I've only been to three shows in Tulsa. I only performed at three shows in Tulsa, but I'm on like a Facebook group with a lot of Tulsa comedians, and I've made friends with a couple of them, and that was the impression I got. Is actually, no, it's endless, but it's, you know, a bigger pond and smaller and a lot of small fish. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Yeah.
Well, I think when we were driving over here, I talked to you a little bit, but I think that sounds like a good place where you could just get your you're practicing.
You would think.
You wouldn't need, I mean.
you would think, right? Yeah, you think.
Comedians are probably your best critics, too. And to tell jokes in front of just the guys in line to talk, to tell jokes to like four or five people, you could keep polishing that material and just wrinkling it up.
Right, right. Yeah, so whenever you're in a small town like here, and we were talking about this when we were in the car, if you do an open mic and talk on your comedian, there's this problem of you can't do the same set 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row. People are going to be at the same bar again the next week, and they're going to hear it, and it's going to be funny. But like you said, if you go to Tulsa, you can probably reuse the same material a lot more often. But I think that being a small town, being forced to write like that is good. It just that it caused, I know it caused me and other people to burn out at different points in it, but you got to get back
to it. The whole time Mason was doing his thing at Ned's, I was always impressed. I mean,
he was
funny, and I'm not taking that away from him. He's very funny. But even if he hadn't been funny, I would have been impressed with just the pure breadth of material.
And he snapped. Don't take it wrong. He snapped. He had to. There was a breaking point. And I know I couldn't. If I did that, it probably would have forced me to write some good stuff, but I feel like I would have broken earlier. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do it a year. I probably would have.
I was impressed it lasted as long as it did.
Or 2 years. It was like 2 years.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I wish we could bring one like that back. I wish that we could have one. Now all the ones that we have left are primarily music-based. So I'm looking at more comedy open mics, like you said, in Tulsa. And maybe towards the Joplin area.
Joplin's
There's a lot in Arkansas, but I'm not legally allowed over there. So I have to kind of avoid.
We'll just wait that out.
Yeah, it's like in a video game when the map is locked off. It's like that.
Yeah, you haven't unlocked it yet.
Yeah. No, it got locked. It was unlocked. I locked it. Yeah.
I've never played a video game like that.
Like Grand Theft Auto or something?
Just locked up in it?
I haven't played a game where you can't go back somewhere. Yeah, I guess that's kind of a...
Well, it'd be kind of hard to go back in time in Zelda, but now we're talking about two different eras.
Yeah. I miss Zelda.
I love Zelda. I lived in an apartment building that was so confusing that me and my roommate decided that every time you figured something out, we both agreed that noise was happening.
My first Zelda game was the one where it's Twilight Princess, the one where he's like a werewolf.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so like... In my head, I always associate with werewolves, even though that has nothing to do with the rest of this franchise. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
My first experience is like being four or five and walking into like the cool older brother's bedroom at some house, like a church related event or something, and a guy playing the NES one and just being, what is that?
I'm just old enough and poor enough that we had Nintendo 64 in like the mid 2000s. So like I have memory of that, but I don't think I own a console older than that.
Nintendo 64 had by far the weirdest controller.
Oh, yeah. It was like completely asymmetrical, and you had to like break your fingers to...
Whoever
got
permission to make that.
Do you remember the Rumble Pack, where they put in a thing that you had to pay extra to get to vibrate?
Oh, man, I bought into the Dreamcast, because I had Popular Science magazine, and they had like a little thing about it being like high-tech, and I knew about the video memory card.
What's the Dreamcast?
It was Sega's last venture into physical hardware.
Was it like a big handheld console with a screen on it?
No, it was white. And it was a box with an orange triangle light at the front.
Huh.
Sonic Adventure 1, 2.
Huh. I had some kind of second handheld, but I didn't have it for very long. And it was like
there's Game Gear and Nomad. And Nomad was like a Genesis that was just handheld. It was crazy.
Legend of Zelda. I came here to talk about
that. Heck yeah, man.
If I want to give any advice to anyone that's trying to do stand-up, I would just say, like, especially if you're a musician, separate the mentality you have from music, because like guitarists can play alone in their room for a long time and not be very good at it, but you can't practice being funny by yourself. You can sit there and tape yourself in the mirror all you want. You're not a comedian doing that. You're mentally ill. You have to get out there and like actually embarrass yourself and bomb and make people mad at you and make people want to leave the bar and question why you're doing this. And it's going to happen a lot. It won't stop happening. It's whether or not you get back up and keep doing it is what makes you a comedian or not. And you learn more from the bad experiences than the good ones. So don't ever like beat yourself up too much on it, because no matter how bad it went, there's somebody that's got a story that can top yours. Like,
right?
Yeah.
And that's a lesson you guys can take home with you in anything. We do learn way more from failure than we do successes. Sometimes success covers up all kinds of blemishes that you wouldn't correct if you didn't need to, because you got by.
I was at the open mic in Muskogee on Wednesday, and I saw a dude's set get cut off by a train. You got heckled by a train. That is the most Muskogee thing I can think of. Is like you can't do your thing because of a train going by.
Well, I've seen the musicians try to play back and figure out what key that whistle's in and try to hit that. That's always pretty neat.
Imagine trying to do a joke and you just for 5 minutes and you can't.
You should have built more bridges in town.
Should have built more bridges, yeah.
That's what you got to do. Then they don't have to warn you.
Should have bought Tesla.
All right, that has been an episode of Community Chat with Cole Panel. He's a comedian out of Tahlequah. Be rooting for him in the future. I think we're going to look out for future events maybe at the Tahlequah Creates and things like that. And this has been brought to you by Baker's Furniture. They've been in Tahlequah for 53 years. They offer free delivery within city limits. We're going to get back to the programming. Be good, y'all.